You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that is what it says on the coffee mug, so thanks for joining us. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, and great to have a home on the radio and online. Nancy Stensel will be our guest in just a couple of moments here. But did you know as of 2018, a study was done that found that there are 81 radio stations in Wisconsin that carry 235 hours of conservative talk every day. It's past time for a little antidote to that across the Northwoods. And so we're thrilled to be here and hope you make us a part of your routine. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and we'll be talking more about the show and the structure of it coming up in our next hour. But at this point, I want to introduce our guest for the hour, but it might take me the hour to do the full introduction because this is one of the busiest, hardest working women in Marathon County. Nancy Stensel is somebody who has been, served on the former chair of the state Democratic Party, has been a candidate for Wisconsin Assembly, the board of directors of 9to5 Wisconsin, secretary of the Madison County Central Labor Council, a board member of Citizen Action for North Central Wisconsin, a mental health professional who has worked at the North Central Healthcare Center and has seen the opioid and meth crises up close. We may even get to her claim to fame as the first woman garbage collector in the village of Rothschild, because this is a woman who just has broken barriers of that you didn't even know existed. Nancy Stensel, thanks for being here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Wow, what an intro.
And that doesn't even get to everything that's keeping you busy these days. And I think we will spend quite a bit of time on your latest work, which is letting people know about a proposal for a potential mining project in the area and what that would mean. We will probably get in as well to your work with something called Middle Wisconsin News and getting other people's views and ideas out there. We'll talk a bit about the legislative races too. But where you've been in the news, Nancy, most recently is a lawsuit that has since been set aside by a judge, but I don't think the issue is done yet. Nancy was one of a group of citizens that was seeking to ban Congressman Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, and Senator Ron Johnson from the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was a remedy after the Civil War to deal with traitors, to deal with people who were hostile to democracy, to American democracy. That is something that we learned is with us very much so on January 6th of 2021. We saw it in Congressman Tom Tiffany voting to reject the counted, certified, confirmed, and actual honest vote totals from states of the Union. Wanted to overturn that election. For that reason enough, he can fairly be called somebody sympathetic to the insurrectionists, if not one himself. Ron Johnson has certainly spread his share of misinformation about the election. Scott Fitzgerald facilitated the meeting of fraudulent electors, and Ron Johnson very nearly delivered fraudulent electoral ballots to Vice President Mike Pence on the morning of January 6th. So, Nancy, you were part of this lawsuit. The judge said that y'all didn't have standing to bring the lawsuit, but he did note, Judge Lynn Edelman said, that he expresses no view on the merits of the allegations. The Wisconsin Elections Commission didn't take it up originally, thinking that this was just a one-time thing by these fake electors. We've since learned it's part of a deeper plot. So, Nancy, do you think that this whole issue is done, or are we going to hear more about it?
I really think it needs to be brought back out into the forefront. And even in this state with our gerrymandering, it's an outrageous decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. How they rejected the legislature's maps, and these people are clearly, Tiffany and Fitzgerald and Johnson are clearly insurrectionists, which is very, very frightening to our democracy. And for them, the courts to say that we didn't suffer any injury, the hours that the 10 of us probably put in to try to save democracy in this state is just huge. But on a more statewide level, you know, what they're doing to the people of this state by trying to silence their vote.
And you talked about the time that you've put into this, and you and the others bringing the lawsuit made clear, and we've covered this at Up North News as well, is you are trying to do good things for voters. You're trying to educate voters, or you're trying to advocate on behalf of a cause, and you can't do that regular work if you have to take time explaining to people that Donald Trump, Tom Tiffany, and others are lying about election irregularities and planting seeds of doubt about the election. And you know, you said so in your statement for the lawsuit, Nancy. This is a lot of time you've put in on democracy rather than, you know, specific issues that would help individuals.
Correct. I mean, there's so many other things we could be doing out there. And I also belong to a group in Wausau. We're called Women for Women. There's several of us that we do our best to try to educate people on the topics that are out there. We try to get out the vote. We look for candidates. We get candidates to run. And that in itself becomes harder when they're up against so much. When it came to several of the local races, we have sent out postcards getting people, you know, get out there and vote. We work with other organizations with postcards as well. I know, like for the Biden-Harris race, we did over 3,000 postcards. Right. We've helped in other states, and
it's hard to get people. It's hard to keep people motivated to do that when, you know, there's people are doubting democracy itself. Nancy Stensel is our guest. We're going to take a break and talk more about this topic and much more next. This is Up North News. Well, this is a problem I did not expect on day one of Up North News on the radio. My Apple Watch is already yelling at me, saying your rings are normally further along by now. And how do I tell my watch I'm now going to spend 3 hours a day? My only exercise is walking to the coffee pot during commercial breaks. Needless to say, I'm going to have to find something to do at 11:01 every day that keeps this thing from yelling at me. Nancy Stensel is my guest for this hour. We've been talking first about her status as one of the plaintiffs in a lawsuit to ban certain insurrectionists from the ballot, you know, later this year. And I just wanted to come back to this whole note of when the notion of the fake electors first came up. And, you know, I believe it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that broke it that morning, saying that a group of Republicans who support Donald Trump are going to meet in a different room at the state capitol, you know, while the official electors are in the governor's office conference room casting the official electoral ballots for Joe Biden. These Republicans are going to cast them, you know, just in case, you know, all this apparent fraud, you know, exists. We're just doing some due diligence. And that was still kind of the thinking at the time when the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is made up of three Democrats, three Republicans, and they said, you know, okay, well, we understand. We're not going to bring, you know, any penalty or anything against you. But again, it has since been discovered through the January 6th committee that this was something that was plotted well before Election Day, planting the seeds of doubt about non-existent fraud before Election Day. Nancy, as you, the attorneys, and the other plaintiffs have talked about it, is there anything formally planned to formally ask the Wisconsin Elections Commission to take up the matter again and to reverse course based on what we know now?
At this time, we haven't done anything, but it is still simmering there under the surface. And yeah, we need to bring this back because it's something like they are making efforts to silence voters at every turn. They're planting, like you said, the seeds of doubt. And I think that is where the election fraud probably does come in. There was a small case the other day, and I thought, you know, where do these people get the idea? You plant the seed of doubt that people can get away with something. And we need to bring this lawsuit forward again to silence this. I can't imagine people like Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson at every turn, they're doing things that hurt the people of this state.
And this country, in the sense that if they nearly got away with it last time, what's to say that if Tony Evers wins in a close, but again, fair election, you know, that something else won't be tried to try to overturn that election as a way of laying the ground for the 2024 presidential election. And, you know, a lot of people are you know, want to say, oh, that's alarmist and you're jumping to conclusions. But again, if you've paid any attention to the January 6th committee and the actual facts that have been brought up, you'll see that this is not, you know, whistling past the graveyard by any stretch. This is real. And this is something that should continue to be monitored. And Nancy, we're glad you're doing it. But the thing that seems to be keeping you busiest right now is something that I frankly just can't believe we're even discussing. We just got done in the last hour talking to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg about, you know, PFAS in the water and the danger of these industrial chemicals being there that can be harmful to humans. But it seems like despite what we know about that, despite the ability to beat back a potential mining effort, you know, in the Crandon area, despite the effort to beat back a potential mining proposal close to the Bad River area, despite the efforts to, you know, prevent an Enbridge pipeline from being rerouted and potentially causing damage, now there's something happening in one of the most pristine areas of Marathon County that's being proposed. Nancy, can you give a little background on what it is, how you found out about it?
Well, the background on this, it's called the Reef Deposit in Marathon County, and it sits just below the Eau Claire Dells. So it is within a half mile of the Eau Claire River. It is among some of the best trout streams. The groundwater in this area is at 0 to 20 feet. And again, we have toxic Tom Tiffany, along with Scott Fitzgerald, who took a lot of campaign money from these mining companies and actually let the mining companies write the bill. For the longest time, we had what was called the Prove It First Law, and that was overturned in 2017. And now they want to drill possibly 100 to 125 boreholes. And we sat in on a DNR meeting in June, and they were not able to clearly tell us that there is not PFAS in drilling fluids, which we know are in drilling fluids in the fracking industry.
So you're saying before we even get to the mining, the potential mining of metals in that sensitive area, the very act of drilling, of boring these holes, these test borings, that the equipment itself has issues with it and threatens to contaminate the water just testing alone?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, I've read NR 130 from the DNR, you know, inside and out, and the potential with the drilling fluids containing PFAS, drilling through your groundwater, and, you know, what can potentially happen if a mine should actually go through, how much water this is going to take. So what's going to happen to everybody's well in that area? We have recently been blessed with the Ho-Chunk Nation has come across to help us on this as well, where they have issued a statement saying that they are in opposition. And they have also wrote a resolution against mining in this area. You know, prove that you can do this safely before you even start.
We're going to go over that again, because you and I know it backwards and forwards. We talk about it all the time, but I feel like not enough people appreciate what Tom Tiffany did while he was in the legislature before Congress, representing an area so beautiful, so known for its clean water. But what he and Republican legislators did during the last decade, once they took control of the legislature, was get rid of perhaps the one of the most common sense laws you could ever want to see on the books, which says simply, if you want to open a you know, metallic mining operation, you can, if you can show that, and correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers, Nancy, that you operated it for what, 10 years, and it's been closed for 10 years with no damage to the environment. Am I reading that?
That's correct. And it has never been, they've never been able to prove that.
Right. It's never happened. If there is a non-damaging way to do mining, okay, so be it. You know, and you would think that what that would do would be, again, to spark that entrepreneurial creativity to, you know, look for ways to do this. But instead, it's nope, we know our job is dirty and dangerous and damaging. And, you know, we're just going to get some politicians to lead the way for us. And the fact that, you know, politicians from this particular area actually led the way. And all we hear about is, you know, jobs, jobs, jobs. Jobs are important, but I'm here in the middle of, you know, sand mining USA, or at least it was for a while, you know, and all we heard about were the jobs. And now most of the sand plants around here are quiet to dead. Because again, you've got a boom and bust, and are you prepared when the bust comes, whether that's from environmental damage, paying for it with the bonding that needs to be required from a mining operation and such? I mean, again, Nancy, all I'm hearing from you is, look, if you can do it safely, come on in.
That's exactly right. And yeah, you know, the bonding that they have to put forth is really, you know, very little compared to what happens if your water is ruined. And like what you alluded with the sand mine to the boost, you know, boom and bust, that's exactly what these are too. These companies come in 2018, we had Aquila come in and wanted to do the same thing. Well, Aquila supposedly is there no more, and now it's Greenlight Metals. And what we're finding with Greenlight Metals and their stock holdings is that their board of directors is comprised of a lot of the old board members from Aquila. So, and this is a Canadian-based company. You know, are you going to do any, are we as citizens going to do anything to try to stop something this toxic from further destroying our water? And when you go down the Eau Claire River, you know, the next village is the village of Weston. We have enough issues already without damaging our water system any further.
You've got a petition at change.org as well. What do you want people to sign up to?
Well, we're asking people to sign on for clean water. And like you alluded to before, if you can do this mining safely, so be it. But we want you to prove that first. So we do have the petition online, as well as we are circulating a petition throughout, a paper petition throughout Marathon County, getting people to sign on. We have yard signs. We have done lit drops in the area along the Eau Claire River, and just making awareness out there that this is going on so that people know what's happening to them.
Okay. Nancy Stensel is our guest for this hour from Marathon County, who is telling us about her activity and letting people know about this mining proposal. And there are many ways that you try to share you know, the news of what's going on politically speaking. Haven't been a lot of avenues in central Wisconsin media. So one got started called Middle Wisconsin News. Tell folks about that, what the aim of that is and the opportunity that it brings to others.
Well, Middle Wisconsin News is really nothing new. It's been around, it got started during the Scott Walker era here by a bunch of concerned people in Marathon County. And, you know, through the years, it has changed hands along the way. And most recently, there was a couple of older guys that were running Middle Wisconsin News, getting up there in years. They all of a sudden said, you know, I think we're just going to dissolve this. And I thought, no way. So I took it on. And basically what we are is you can submit articles to us. We run twice a month. Every first and third Monday, we publish a variety of articles on people's views.
And in sharing that, I think it gets to the notion of this next question, and that is, so many people follow and vote in presidential elections, you know, slightly fewer in midterms, you know, for governor and U.S. Senate. But it really is these legislative races in central Wisconsin that can have an impact. What should people know in Marathon County and central Wisconsin about them? What is it that they should pay attention to in legislative races rather than just whether there's a D or an R next to somebody's name?
What they actually stand for. You know, all politics are local, and you definitely have to get into the issues. We try, and through Middle Wisconsin News too, we try to advertise on what the politicians are doing to give you a little bit better understanding of where they stand on issues.
Well, and it's vital because, again, I think while a lot of people are, you know, going to vote, you know, Democratic down the ballot, plenty of other people are still ticket splitters. And it's worth letting them know that even in, or especially in this polarized era, if you feel better voting for, you know, a Republican for governor or senator, but at least know, you know, at the legislative level, there's somebody that is okay with your water being contaminated and there's somebody that isn't, maybe it's okay to split the ticket that way. Nancy Stensel is our guest. We're going to take a break and have more conversation after this on Up North News.
You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow,
where we are trying to make news talk radio pleasant again. And we will explain more about that in our next hour. More sun, less humidity as the day goes on. And that's very welcome. Upper 70s today and then another warm-up coming for the middle of the week. Over at the Up North News homepage, upnorthnewswi.com, we have an article on how Mandela Barnes was able to essentially clear the field and become the presumptive nominee for U.S. Senate, and how that working family's message served him well throughout this primary campaign. And also a story on the right-wing activist in the Racine area who kept trying to prove the big lie about voter fraud existing by committing voter fraud himself, and it basically admitting to the crime as if that's going to prove some other point other than that he engaged in a criminal act. So find those stories at upnorthnewswi.com or look for our posts about our stories on social media. Again, upnorthnewswi is what you want to search for. Don't forget the WI. We love being called Up North. It's a little generic, so we put the WI in there for you. Nancy Stensel is our guest from Marathon County. We've been talking about everything from insurrectionists being on the ballot to a mining proposal that is threatening the clean waters of the Marathon County area. But Nancy, you've been involved in so many things over time here at the county level. And as I was looking at, for example, some of what you said while running for county board, you know, back in the day, it's no less true today. Looking to facilitate improvements to infrastructure to attract and maintain young people to come to Marathon County, fight for living wage jobs that encourage and sustain our way of life, because a lack of family sustaining jobs places more burdens on taxpayers. Now it's 4 years ago. Probably as true today as ever.
Yeah, it is. Not much has changed. And I think that's where we need to start making some changes in the people that we elect. As you and I were talking off air, we have our fair coming up this week. We'll have a lot of our candidates coming up to mingle with people during the week. And I really encourage people in Marathon County to get out, come down to the fair, get to meet them. We have to make some changes here to where the people we elect are actually serving the middle class. Everything from Ron Johnson, you know, we were talking about Mandela Barnes running. Ron Johnson so disrespects women. You know, he believes in the oppression of women. He's come right out and said things like, you know, if you don't like the law, you can move. And he's openly said that he feels that women have babies so that they can get welfare. And I'm very grateful to see such an outpouring of support from the younger women. And we really need to keep them engaged all the way through to November. And we have Dick Ostman running for Congress. And again, we need to replace Tom Tiffany terribly. We have Bob Look running for the 29th Senate. Tuesday is the only day I know for sure we will have Alexia Sabor coming down. She's running for Secretary of State. But I think it's really important to get out here to the fairgrounds, you know, and talk to these people one-on-one and learn what they have to say and make that connection with them.
We are exactly 99 days away from the November election. And so there's a lot to be done and said in those 99 days. And that includes the you know, the good old fashioned retail work of shaking hands and meeting people at the fair, and at fairs all around the state. And I have certainly worked those tables, and I've talked to people at the tables, like at Farm Tech Days in Clark County a couple of weeks back. And it is really worth noting, Nancy, that as toxic as things seem to be, as they sometimes get in person, and as they certainly appear to be, you know, over the TV airwaves, it remains quite true that the pleasant, respectful conversations at places like these fairs, at the booths, probably show off more of America and Wisconsin than the toxicity that we see in political advertising.
Oh, that's very true. I have found that when you can sit down and have that one-on-one conversation with somebody and explain, you know, what your views are, I think in general, we are so much closer than we are actually split. There's, you know, people get to address their issues with politicians, they get answers, and that's what's important. That's what drives us forward.
Well, and it's how any good public official, you know, learns things. As a state senator, I had, 100 listening sessions throughout the 23rd Senate District and got some great ideas that did turn into proposals and, some that did come to fruition. But again, they only start with those personal conversations. But those conversations aren't just with, current politicians, but people who could be the leaders of our future. You and I have had, innumerable conversations with people about whether, they should, they're thinking about running for office. And many don't, to be honest, once they hear what all is involved, because it's not for everybody. But then there's a lot of satisfaction when you see people that do get involved and put themselves out there. And you have a focus on women and young women running for office or in other ways getting more involved. Why is that? And what do you tell folks?
Well, as you and I both know, yes, it is really, really hard work, but it is such rewarding work to get involved, and the people that you meet along the way, the connections I've made, the connections you have made. And this is something, again, through our Women for Women group in Wausau, we try to educate women and men on many different topics that you might not otherwise hear, here in the Northwoods. We've had like Sarah Finger from the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health come up and speak and just give everybody a more well-rounded view of what all these issues are and educate them. And I know, like with the women's movement now, with Roe v. Wade, so many young women have come forward, and they're strong women. And we want to encourage them, and they're going to be tomorrow's leaders.
Would you dare say that the right-wing justices on the Supreme Court repealing Roe v. Wade, a half century of constitutionally protected abortion care based in the right to privacy, it's I don't know if it's possible to overstate the significance that it can play in this year's election, or is this going to be a lot of bluster and in the end, while this decision has made a lot of women unhappy or angry, they still won't vote in November if they typically don't vote in a non-presidential election year. What's your sense right now?
Oh, women are coming forward. We are finding so many women that are engaged right now in making phone calls, writing postcards, getting out and actually hitting the streets and doing campaign lit drops, talking to voters. And I'm so proud of the younger people because they are engaged like nothing I've seen in my life, where, many of us have always had this right. Abortion is health care. And to have somebody take it away. And these younger people are also realizing that it's not going to stop here with these extreme right. Gay rights are on the line. Birth control is on the line. They're realizing these things, and they're geared up. They're ready to do something about it.
Yeah, I think that just folks are only now appreciating that there is an entire group of fellow Americans that would take on, you know, roll back rights there to interracial relationships, to you name it, to take us back to an era where, again, only those people who were actively and already powerful and oppressing were doing well at the expense of many others. And that includes folks who are, you know, working for a living and looking for a living wage. And I mentioned earlier, you know, part of your biography is being the first woman garbage collector in the village of Rothschild. And what that experience taught you about what is still needed for women in the workforce and for everybody in the workforce who's looking for a fair wage.
Well, when I look back on that, that was many, many years ago. I was 18 years old, and not much has changed. That's what's really difficult. Women are making, what is it, you know, 87 cents on a dollar compared to men. But I do think the tides are turning as far as men today are much more open, much more receptive to just working alongside a person. But it's still something where, you know, 50 years later, after Roe v. Wade and things like this, that we are still fighting for women's rights. And we need, it's important that we must vote in people who are not going to move us backwards.
I think one of the most gut punch statistics that you can, you know, hit somebody with is the notion that from a nationwide perspective, Republicans still win the vote overall of white women when in presidential elections, that you know, that continues to this day. But, you know, again, with perhaps smaller margins, and maybe this year is the watershed moment, because again, there aren't strides made without Black women getting involved more and more, voting more and more, but a whole lot of white women, and I'm not saying this to put all the onus on white women, but just that this is the subject of this particular question. The ones that have taken elections for granted and, you know, can't be bothered with it, can't be bothered with politics. Oh, Nancy, does that hit you like it hits me when somebody says, I just don't want to be bothered with politics?
Yeah, because politics is life. It affects you every day in every way. And, you know, I struggle to find answers to a lot of it. And I think part of it is the fact that the way things are going right now, and they try to silence your vote at every turn, it's difficult. If you're a working mom and you've got kids to take care of, you've got, you know, baseball games to get the kids to and everything else, and somebody is all of a sudden throwing a monkey wrench in there and making it harder yet for you to get out and vote, versus maybe an upper middle class white woman that I simply get in the car and go vote. I don't have any barriers, or the barriers that somebody of color would have. And those are the barriers we need to remove.
And we collectively have tried to remove some of those barriers to voting. And again, I held up my absentee ballot last hour. I'm going to do it again, because although there are people that are trying to make this tougher, that are trying to make voting overall tougher, it is still not that tough to go to myvote.wi.gov, or just to go to your local election clerk, vote in person during the hours that you can, or get this and mail it in, but mail it in with, you know, plenty of time to spare, read the instructions carefully. Just that act enough is more involvement than some people are doing now. But Nancy, as we wrap up our discussion here, you've been active in the past with 9to5 Wisconsin, with the North Central Central Labor Council for Marathon County, and with Citizen Action. So it's not just voting, and it's not just all the way to running for office. There are other opportunities where somebody can get involved a little bit more than they're doing now. Is that what direction do you give people when they want to do just a little bit more than they're doing now?
Well, myvote.gov is perfect. We actually have within Citizen Action, within, say, the Democratic Party, within labor, you know, we have like the QR codes that you can use on your phone. Makes it super easy to get you to that site, to get you registered. And I think it's giving people that information that helps them. We did this at the Women's March, and, you know, how delighted so many young people are about well, I'm registered. Now I know what to do. And they can also learn like who's on their ballot, where to go to vote. It explains to them, you know, how to get an absentee ballot, all those important features. And just, we have to keep talking. We have to keep connecting people so that they learn the many different ways that they can indeed vote.
And it happens just, you know, one conversation at a time. And Nancy is somebody who's had a lot of those conversations. I hope there are many more because of what an inspiration you are and the information that you bring to people. And I so appreciate you being part of the Up North News radio show for us on this Monday.
I can't say enough good about this. I am so excited.
Nancy, thanks again so much. Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate you.
Grab your pen, folks. I'm going to give you a phone number after the break.
Was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride.
This is Up North News. So I'm Pat Whitewell, live from Lake Wasota. I would love to show you the lake, but you know, my TV training for all those years of Channel 13 was enough that I know I can't put the window behind me and show you the lake. And, you know, I'm still working on my green screen talents. So instead, you get the home office. I promise you the lake is over this way, Lake Wasota and the Chippewa River. And out this way is a cornfield where I smashed a drone over the weekend. Not a good investment on my wife's part for my birthday present, but we'll get that fixed. I can only laugh about it because my grandson, who's 15, crashed his drone nearby a day earlier. So, you know, we love life on the lake, but that doesn't make us good pilots necessarily. The office tour, the photos over here, for those of you watching on the video feed, do include both adult daughters and now four grandkids, three grandsons and a new granddaughter, 4 months old. And yes, that is me and Uncle Joe. When then Vice President Biden came to town during my run for Congress back in 2012, the generic state of Wisconsin is just requisite. You have to have that. So when I saw it at a fair booth, I said, yeah, you have to have a former news anchor has to have a box effect over his shoulder. And there you are, state of Wisconsin. And of course, a good dairy farm picture because of being married to a good farmer's daughter from Manitowoc County. So there's your brief tour of where we've got our coffee breaks every day, complete with, depending on who I'm talking to, either the Up North News mug or once we start taking calls, you may instead see me drinking from the I Am Silently Correcting Your Grammar mug. So be sure you're coming in with something, you know, informed and not just spewing. We don't have a lot of patience for spewing, and we want to have a good coffee break together. Haven't really formally introduced Luke Mathers as our producer, but I guess I will start by doing an age test on him. Luke, if I tell you that yesterday was allegedly the birth date of George Jetson, and George Jetson now lives amongst us, do you get the reference?
I know the reference, but I can't tell you what year that show actually takes place in, but I would project it 40 years beyond yesterday, 45 years beyond yesterday, maybe?
40 years, yeah, good, okay. good catch. The Jetsons premiered, you know, a lot of people think cartoons, they think Saturday mornings, you know, cartoons and things, but well before The Simpsons, there were primetime animated shows, The Jetsons and The Flintstones among them in the 60s. The Jetsons premiered in 1962, and it was during the show that George Jetson, the father figure, noted that he is 40 years old. So, and the show takes place 100 years in the future, so 2062. So that means, and I'm not sure where the July 31st date came from, but the interwebs are all full of memes and notes that July 31st, 2022 was the birth date of George Jetson, which means that 40 years from now, we're going to be finally having the flying cars and living in houses up on big stilts up in the sky, which I know some people have said now makes sense as we're making more of the planet, you know, uninhabitable. We probably will have to, you know, live up on stilts above this. But Luke, I don't see you as somebody that saw a lot of Jetsons cartoons, even in reruns.
No, I would let you know that all of the reruns that I have seen were probably on Boomerang. So that's relatively the only place I think I could find those cartoons.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
At my age.
And Boomerang actually came into was very handy for me last week, having the grandkids in, because I feel like, especially the 3-year-old, but you know, the 8-year-old as well, I feel like they've already seen everything on Disney Junior or on Nick Junior. And so when we were at a water park last week in the Wisconsin Dells area, and we had a TV located nearby, and the kids were getting a little rambunctious, I put on Boomerang and I'm like, here's something they haven't seen. And swear to God, they were transfixed at times rather than acting up. They chilled out for a bit. And, you know, let's be honest, that's not the first time cartoons from the 60s have been used as a babysitter. You know, it got me to this point. And, you know, look how well I'm doing now. I'm running a radio show on a website out of my office with the curtains closed on a lovely day. So I've got that going for me, which is nice. When we talk more in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the genesis of the show, the network that we're hoping to grow, and some of the things we hope that you will be a part of as well. But I did say before the commercial, I'll note it again, our line, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment at times, will be, of course, in the 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155.
That area code's so good, Pat, that I snuck it in there twice for you. I got you 2 715s in that number.
715. I'm gonna have to get the cadence just right on this. 715-388-7155. Okay, that's almost poetic. That'll work. I appreciate your work on that. There was more than a little bit to do behind the scenes here to get ready for day one. And that included, you know, getting a Facebook page up and running, getting the working on the Twitter machine, getting the live feed all set. And I wanted to express my appreciation to a couple of friends. We were looking for some good photos. We wanted to start with the Wausau area and get some nice pictures of that as well. Because as we noted earlier, you know, there's about 80 some stations in the state that are carrying nothing but conservative talk, and a lot of it, frankly, based out of New York or, you know, other major metropolitan areas that aren't talking a lot about the issues that we're following here. And so we're very happy to have this place for you to urge you to learn more about the issues, to hear from our guests. We'll also take ideas. I should share the email address as well. I've mentioned before that our website is upnorthnewswi.com. And so if you want to email the show, the radio show that we now have, that email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. One more time, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So we would appreciate that. Part of what's made Up North News work, especially the daily newsletter that I put out on weekdays, has been the photography. It started with, you know, once a week we were putting up kind of a banner photo, something picturesque around the state. But folks have been just amazing at sending in things, photos from every corner of the state. And so it's now a daily feature. So if you want to see that along with the news stories that we're working on, go to upnorthnewswi.com. And then in the banner on the homepage up on top, it says newsletter. Just click on that. You know, ask your email address, you get in, and you'll start receiving something that I start working on after the show through the afternoon, and then put out kind of in the later afternoon hours so that you can see. And I try to limit it to just three things you need to know about what's going on around Wisconsin. Usually something very newsy, and then something pretty light as well, because again, that's what life in Wisconsin is like. We want to cover the serious issues, but that's not what we're all about here. I guarantee you, I'm going out to the lake when this is all done, because it's not all work and no play. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Quitewell. We'll have more in our next hour.